The weekend sports talk rolls on.
It's the ATL show.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, it's no secret how, you know, I've talked about it here. Sometimes I have a couple of drinks at a karaoke bar and throw something on. And, like, the variety of songs I'm willing to, I wouldn't even say sing. Perform is not a good word either. But this is one of them.
It's a good one.
I've done this one a couple times.
It's a very good one.
Yeah, I've done it a couple times. It wouldn't play here in Atlanta the way it would elsewhere because, like, we're in Atlanta, like, you should know Luda songs.
Oh, so
but when you're
out.
A white guy like me, and you're in, like, Los Angeles, and you just be like, yeah, man, let's rap some old Ludacris. It plays like, up a little bit different there.
Yeah,
it's more enjoyable to be in Cleveland, like karaoke-ing Young Dro, just randomly. So there you go.
If you wanted to peek into what Abe does when he's out of town, he's Young Dro in Cleveland.
Well, that's when I lived there. They didn't go to Cleveland just so Young Dro would play. I didn't fly to L.A. just so I could karaoke Luda and then be like, that's my time. I'm back to LAX. That's when I lived there. But, like, I don't think I would karaoke it here. I would do it there because it's kind of more the shock, the face value, I mean, shock value.
Yeah, makes more sense. Makes
of
more
a
sense.
White guy like me just stepping up crazy. And hitting up some Luda from, like, when was that, 2001, 2003, somewhere in there?
Yep, in that time frame.
Yeah, you know, somewhere in there, a little word of mouth. Anyways, yeah. It's not just rap, though. Karaoke, obviously Billy Joel. I've been known to karaoke some Billy Joel and some Petty. I've been known to karaoke some show tunes every once in a while.
I was going to say, you're a big Billy Joel. What's your favorite song to karaoke by Billy Joel?
Yeah, interesting because, like, I've done a couple of different songs, but, like, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant's long.
Mm-hmm.
That's real long. It's like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And I know there's some musical interludes and stuff, but, like, that one's long. Moving Out is a decent karaoke one.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple that are maybe like slightly lesser known. I've definitely karaoke'd like New York State of Mind as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Los Angelinos is a good one.
Okay.
I really like that one as well. And there's a couple others that I've probably, I think I karaoke'd Big Shot once or twice. Like Hugh Douglas, our old buddy, saw me karaoke Big Shot. And I don't know why that was the one I chose the day he was there. But yeah. Anyways. All right. So there's a lot coming your way still. I want to break down the top 100 athletes that ESPN put out earlier in the week. We'll do that at 4:20. Quick update on the Braves. They did lose today. They dropped the series. And we'll talk some more about the Braves in our final segment at 4:40 because the Max Fried thing is still hanging over our heads. And maybe, just maybe, that has changed a little bit of the emphasis. Of course, you've got Grant McCauley coming up right after me at 5. And I'm sure he'll have plenty to say about the situation with Fried, Elder, Dodd, the Braves in general, the trade deadline. It'd be a good reason to stick around after my show is done to catch From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. But before we do that, as we always do to lead off the 4 o'clock hour, if I'm hosting 2 to 5, it's time to go OTP.
It may be the ATL show, but it's bigger than just Atlanta. It's time to go outside the perimeter.
Banning the globe.
On the ATL show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, so if you're new here, Outside the Perimeter is the part of the show where I take a look at some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. And I imagine our good buddy who joined us in the first hour, Braden Gall, is no longer listening on the Odyssey app. But just in case, if you don't want a spoiler right now, it'd be a good time to turn the volume down for about 30 seconds. But the Open Championship. We want to call it the British Open, but since it's not technically in Britain this year, I guess we're not allowed to. And then We're just calling it the Open Championship. I don't know. I don't care. What I do care about is that it was won today by Xander Schauffele, who shot a 6-under today in the final round. 4 birdies on the back nine. Just a very impressive charge for him. And in a year that has kind of been about Scottie Scheffler, both on and off the golf course, Xander Schauffele's been getting it done, too. He won the PGA Championship earlier this season, obviously takes home the Open Championship today. He finished top 8 at all 4 majors. So very impressive run for Xander Schauffele. Defending Olympic champion, I'll be honest, I don't know who's on the U.S. Olympic squad for golf, but I would imagine that he was part of it, but who knows. There you go. WNBA All-Star Game. Team WNBA beat Team USA. I don't know if that's necessarily a huge surprise, but it's not a great indictment for. And look, like Team USA is still going to win the Olympics, the women's basketball tournament. But it does make you raise some questions about who was selected and why. But that's neither here nor there. Speaking of Olympic basketball, men's barely got by South Sudan, 101-100. South Sudan shot incredibly well from deep. Team USA simply did not. But they find a way. They were 45-point underdogs. South Sudan, 45-point dogs. But there you go. Former Buck pass rusher Shaq Barrett, he has now signed a 1-year deal with the Dolphins in March. But now he has announced that his retirement. And look, I don't know. Maybe he was trying to work it back into form. And he's just like, nah, not happening. That's pretty much what I'm dealing with right now. I keep trying to get myself out there for a long run. And, like, every day, I'm just like, nope, not happening. And just a quick aside before I get to more stories. Here's the thing. It's just so difficult for me to do in the morning. It's just mentally, it's so tough. And so I think I'm going to have to go back to what was a nightmare last time, which is doing it in the afternoon. But obviously, that means doing it when it's 80-something degrees out. But that's where we are, man. And so I've told myself for the past 2 days I'm going to do a long run. And I had it. So here we are. If it's not raining tomorrow, I'm going to get out there after the show and go do a long run. And it's going to be torture. And then maybe that'll teach me a lesson of like, just do it in the morning. So there you go. Jake Paul put one on Mike Perry and then called out Mike Tyson. Conor McGregor has then called out Mike Perry. Okay, like Conor McGregor needs to worry about his own fight because I'm still waiting for that. He might get a little bit of the Mike Perry business if he's not careful. By the way, Mike Perry is a dangerous fighter, but he is not a boxer. I would think Mike Perry would love to see Jake Paul in a bare knuckle fight, but that's not the case, unfortunately. Pogačar wrapped up his 3rd Tour de France title here, and He's won the Tour de France now in what many are calling such a dominant fashion that they're just assuming he's cheating. And I'm not even suggesting, like, they shouldn't, but, like, that's what's happening. Like, there are allegations now simply because of dominance. So there you go. Now, MLB Hall of Fame, class of 2024 inducted. It's a sneaky good class this year. I know the names, like, you might look at it and be like, are we sure that guy was a Hall of Famer? But, like, yeah, you look at, like, what some of these guys did and what the accomplishments were, I would say yes. Adrian Beltre is, like, just perpetually underrated. But Adrian Beltre goes in along with Joe Mauer, who, when did we know Joe Mauer was going to be a Hall of Famer? Like, 3 years into his career, we're like, that guy's a Hall of Famer if he stays healthy. He didn't even play that long. I know he had to move around positions after a while, but Joe Mauer's a Hall of Famer. Todd Helton is a Hall of Famer, and Jim Leland is a Hall of Famer. So a lot going on there up in Cooperstown. I took a trip up there last year, part of the baseball trip. Cooperstown is pretty cool, pretty cool stuff. And you know, we're talking about the baseball trip this year. Dom, have you been to any like sports Hall of Fames? Any of them? A variety of them.
I've been to the college football one that's right
okay.
here.
Okay. Not exactly a tough visit, but yeah. okay.
But that's the only one that I've had the pleasure of going to.
The interesting thing about the Baseball Hall of Fame, which I have been to the College Football Hall of Fame too, but I've been to the Basketball Hall of Fame twice. I've been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton once, and Cooperstown as well now. And I'm sure there's some smaller ones, whatever. The thing that just seems to make baseball's Hall of Fame different and much more historic and special, whether you want to agree or not, there are moments from those games that are more historic than other sports, and they have those moments. And that's not to suggest that football or basketball doesn't have those moments, but like, I'm much less wowed by, like, here's the ball that David Tyree caught on his helmet, as opposed to, like, here's Roger Maris's 61st home run. Like, for some reason, the moments, the individual moments in baseball history are much more significant and memorable to have the memorabilia. The bat in which Babe Ruth called his shot with is way more important than, like, here's Justin Tucker's 67-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Ball.
Yeah.
Like, or yeah, or I, boot. Or,
yeah, I get
like,
that.
I don't know. It's just, for some reason, the actual, and by the way, say it's, I'm not trying to just pick on football. Like, I mean, maybe if they had, like, a ball that Wilt Chamberlain scored the 100 points with, although I guess that would have to ruin some people's conspiracy theories that it never happened. But, like, I mean, like, the ball in which Jordan won the 98 finals, yeah, like the Russell shot. Yeah. Like, I guess it'd be cool to have that in the Basketball Hall of Fame, but, like, it's not like the ball was like, this is the ball of Nolan Ryan's seventh no-hitter. You know, it just, mm-hmm. just feels different. And yeah. so, for that reason alone, baseball has always had a Hall of Fame that just feels like it's bigger and more meaningful. I don't know why that is, because a ball is just a ball in one sport as it is the other, but it just feels different. Maybe it's because the sport is been around longer. I don't really have an explanation, but that's what it is. Anyways, all right, that's going to do it for Outside the Perimeter. Again, a lot of news going on, a lot of interesting basketball stuff as we gear up for the Olympics. We mentioned Team USA beating South Sudan barely. And in the women's all-star game, a WNBA squad beat the Olympic squad there. And so we'll see if they can somehow rebound to win the game. And the games are starting up soon, man. Like, there are a couple of early. So because some sports take longer to compete in a tournament style, they'll start early. So like soccer and rugby, I think they're playing Wednesday. But the full get-go, I believe, is on Friday. So real excited for the Olympics. If you've been listening to me over the past month and change, 2 months, obviously you know how excited I am about that. Speaking of Olympics, a couple of Olympic athletes made the list. More than a couple, to be honest. ESPN's list of top 100 athletes. I'll share my takeaways, what I thought they got right, maybe what they got wrong, and also who would be on the list if they remade it in 50 years. There's a lot of discussion coming your way. It is the Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. Some Braves talk to come as well on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Back to Abe Gordon with the Abe TL Show.
Believe it. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talk a little more Braves in about 20 minutes, but I do want to bring this to your attention. In the ninth inning of today's game, there was a play at second in which Ozzie Albies tried to apply a tag, and something went wrong with his wrist, and he had to leave the game. And I was trying to wait to see if we can maybe get some more words on it. It's still being evaluated, but Brian Snicker did clarify, said, quote, it's not good. And that Ozzie Albies will go on the injured list. So, you know, maybe we see Nacho coming up there from AAA. He's been pretty good since joining the Stripers, but really bad news at a bad time for the Braves, who are also dealing with the Max Fried injury. Again, we're going to talk more about this in about 20 minutes. Grant McCauley is coming up from 5 to 7, and if you needed more reason to listen to him than usual, the Max Fried injury announcement, the Ozzie Albies injury suffered at the final plays of today's game should give you more than enough reason to stick around after I'm gone and listen to From the Diamond. I know I'll be driving home and definitely listening and checking out what Grant has to say. All right, before we get into some more Brave stuff at the end of the show, I do want to talk about this list that ESPN put out throughout the course of the week. They went back through the 2000s, or since year 2000, all the way till now, and did a list of their top 100 athletes since the year 2000. And they, you know, they released 25 per day. And so on Monday, we're looking at the list and we're saying, all right, if this guy's there, then how high up is that guy or another guy, or who's going to be the top guy? You kind of figured the triumvirate, the three guys that maybe are in the GOAT discussion in their various sports of Brady, LeBron, and Messi were going to be somewhere high up there. How high up there are they? Is one of them number one? What makes the difference between those three? I mean, all sorts of stuff going down. But here was the immediate takeaways for me in regards to this list and the top of this list. Michael Phelps was number one. And I just think sometimes we probably forgot like how good he was and for how long he was that good. I will say this, he would not have been my number one. Two or three, I would have been absolutely fine with. Serena Williams, by the way, was number two, and they certainly can't argue with that. I actually might have had Serena over Phelps, but the guy that finished, quite frankly, ninth would have been number one for me. We'll get to who that was in a moment. But Michael Phelps was number one overall, and yeah, everyone has their own preference. And to be fair, I don't know specifically what this list was based on. It's not athleticism on its own. I think it's probably greatness within your own sport, however you want to quantify that. I'm not trying to say like Michael Phelps is a better athlete than LeBron James. But just keep in mind, I think it's about professional success and all that sort of stuff. So Michael Phelps is number one. Serena was number two. No denying her greatness either. 3, 4, 5 with those three guys that we talked about. Messi at number three. LeBron at number four. Tom Brady at number five. And I'm trying to quantify what necessarily separated those three or caused them to be listed 3, 4, 5. You know, it's not championships, or else Brady would have been above LeBron. People have a tough time calling LeBron the GOAT. They don't have a tough time calling Messi or Brady the GOAT, so it's not GOAT talk. It is interesting to see why, kind of trying to define why LeBron got above. I don't have a problem with it, above Brady. Maybe that is where it's like they're both on equal footing. Who is the actual just better athlete? And I don't think anyone's going to argue that Brady, despite all of his accomplishments, is a better athlete than LeBron James.
You weren't wild by his combine tape?
I don't care. He's a quarterback. It doesn't bother me. But if you need a tiebreaker, then fine. Another trio of champions. That was interesting to see how they ESPN ranked them. And again, we're talking about the top 100 athletes list that ESPN put out throughout the course of the week. I haven't had an opportunity to react to it myself. Roger Federer at number 6, Novak Djokovic at number 11, and Rafa Nadal at number 12. Despite the majors, I'm not surprised that Djokovic and Nadal are behind Federer. And I didn't really know if they were going to go Djokovic over Nadal or not. Look, I think, in my opinion, you could point to the major championships, but also point to the comfort on any surface that Djokovic had that you could argue Nadal maybe not quite as much. But yeah. Number 7 was Simone Biles. thought she would be, or not thought, but I wonder if she would be higher if it weren't for the issues of last Olympic Games. If she had racked up a couple more gold medals like she seems and we hope that she is prepared to do in a couple of weeks. But if so, I mean, how higher would you have gone? You jump her above Roger Federer? You jump her above Brady, LeBron, Messi, Serena, or Phelps? Like, maybe she was capped at seven. Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference. Number nine is the guy that I would have had as number one. And by the way, I think Tiger Woods was number eight, just for the record. Usain Bolt is number nine. I think I would have had him at number one. Look, obviously he's limited in terms of pure number of gold medals in ways that Michael Phelps was not. In track and field, you can only compete in four events. So you can't just rack up eight gold medals at one Olympic Games. But when I look at Phelps, and look, Phelps had a number of world records, but there were guys that were competitive with Phelps in most events. Not all, but most events. And it's tough to quantify this for people who aren't track and field fans, and I'm not necessarily doing a great job of it, but the amount of time, like physical time that Usain Bolt took off of the 100 and 200 meter world records, like these were jumps that you see minuscule jumps in these sorts of races over the course of 20, 30, 40 years. Like, he jumped like 3/10 of a second, not hundredths, 3/10 of a second in the 100 meters, right? I mean, I have to go back and look. Like, what's his world record? Like 9.49? 9.58? I think it's 9.58. I mean, you're talking about a significant jump from the previous world record. Significant jump. And same thing in the 200. And I still don't think he ever ran as fast as he could. I still think he never ran through the full 100 meters. And so there probably could have gotten a slight, you're not going to take too much off at that point, but, you know, could he have gone sub 9.5? I think so, which is just crazy. But just the jump in time for his world records are just so crazy. He would have been number one for me. That's just me. A couple of other surprises a little bit further down the list. And again, we're talking about the ESPN list of the top 100 athletes since the year 2000. Mike Trout was number 30. Just have to wonder how high he'd be if he weren't forced to miss so much time with injury. We talk about Adrian Beltre getting into the Hall of Fame today. Another sleeper career was at number 33, Miguel Cabrera. This is a guy that had two MVPs, a triple crown, four batting titles, 12-time All-Star game, and a member of the 3,000-hit, 500-home run club. One of the all-time great offensive players in the history of Major League Baseball. I don't know if we talk about him enough. Maya Moore at number 36 and Candace Parker at number 60. They were number three and number four among women's basketball players. Little surprised that Tamika Catchings was above Maya Moore. Really above both of them, but that was that. Alex Ovechkin at number 53. I would have had him much higher, just my personal opinion. You could say arguably, and look, if you want to get into the discussion of championships, make you whatever, like, I know he's got one Stanley Cup, but, like, Alex Ovechkin arguably has the second best career in the history of NHL. I mean, you could certainly make an argument for other guys, too. Like, don't get me wrong, but you're talking about a guy that right now, depending on if he wants to ride it out for the record, might surpass Wayne Gretzky in career goals, but is number two on that list right now. I don't know, 53. I probably could have gone a little bit higher than him.
Do you think having Sidney ahead of him is...
Yeah, it was terrible.
Okay, I was saying, because Crosby's at 22.
Yeah, it's a terrible list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I get Crosby has more Stanley Cups, but he's not... I mean, if I was looking at that, their careers separate of wins, what they did as a player, I mean, Ovi's crazy. Number 66 with John Jones. There was a very clear lack of respect for fighters in this list. They had four fighters, two boxers, and two MMA guys. John Jones and George St. Pierre were the two MMA practitioners. I think it was Pacquiao, and I don't remember if it was Mayweather was the
Mayweather.
Other one.
Mm-hmm.
Mayweather, I think, was 25. Pacquiao, a little bit behind him. So John Jones probably should have been a little higher. Obviously, he's some time away from the sport. Some legal issues, sortly would have added to that. The other thing is that ESPN did do another, like, short list of if they remade this in 25 years, what would it look like? With potential of a couple of names that could be added to the list. Not necessarily cranking the top five, but just potentially added to the list. Carlos Alcaraz led the way. This is a guy that seems poised to be the next great tennis legend. Long way to go, though. And when you got guys like Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, Serena, I mean, you're talking about a long, long way to go. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were on the list. Again, long way to go, but certainly you could start to make your discussion for both of them. Noah Lyles. Interesting for Noah Lyles. Be honest, the timeline for him might be a little bit tough. He's obviously got the Olympics right now. Some guys don't seem to age out. Usain Bolt, Usain Bolt was the first guy ever to win the 1 and 200 at three separate Olympics. And not saying it's not possible, but it's going to be real tough to imagine Noah Lyles. First off, he's got to do it this year, which is going to be very tough. I think he's the best 200-meter runner in the world. I don't know if he's the best 100-meter runner. I don't. And so we'll see. But Scottie Scheffler, again, same deal as Carlos Alcaraz. Like, a great start, but you got to ramp that up. Paul Skeens and Juan Soto, Victor Wembanyama also on the list. Luka Doncic was there as well, among others. So there you go. All right, when we come back, we're going to get back into the Atlanta Braves. Boy, how much has the season potentially changed over the last 24 hours? One injury that maybe is serious, one injury that we hope is not too serious, a trade deadline less than 2 weeks away. It's all coming to a head right now as the Braves drop the series to the Cardinals. We're going to talk about it as we wrap things up here on the Abe TL Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
This is the Abe TL with Abe Gordon.
Any more questions?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Final couple of minutes here on the Abe TL Show before we hand things off to Grant McCauley and from the Diamond. And look, I know Grant works hard to plan his show throughout the course of the week based on the progression and what transpires. And look, he hasn't been on since the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game and all that sort of stuff. But look, he's got 2 hours. It'll be fully encapsulating. But man, oh man, what a past, I don't know, like 10 hours it's been for the Braves. We get the news earlier today that Max Fried is going to be placed on the IL due to, they're calling it best case scenario. It's forearm neuritis. It's still an ulnar nerve issue. And look, maybe this is not a short, maybe it's not a long stint and he just misses two starts and is right back at it being himself. But certainly, there's never a good time for an issue with your ulnar nerve or any pitching arm issue to begin with. You stack that on to the fact that you lose today and drop the series to the Cardinals. And with one of the final plays of the game, Ozzie Albies trying to make a tag at second, injures his wrist. It is immediately viewed as not good and a trip to the IL, according to Brian Snicker. And so now we'll see, because there's a couple of things at play here. Is Nacho Alvarez at play in regards to him being called up? And A lot of people are saying if Nacho Alvarez is the move, it might be Orlando Arcia sliding to second, not Nacho, who has not played second base at the professional level, to my knowledge. He has played some third. He's played short, but not second. Arcia does have a little bit of history at second base. You know, I was just talking with Grant McCauley. You know, maybe you don't necessarily go that route just yet. There's a couple of other infielders in the system that maybe you could look at as well. But you are, what is today, the 20th, 21st? The trade deadline is July 30th. And so, look, the way I look at it, we don't know the extent of Max Fried's injury, nor do we know the timeline, nor do we know if it could recur when he gets throwing again. I think a pitcher is now of utmost importance. Look, we saw Bryce Elder come in and get shellacked. We saw Schwellenbach. Not everything was his fault today, but certainly he got hit around a little bit as well. And it's starting to trend back after maybe a week or 2 weeks of being like, maybe we can get by with this rotation. The injury to Fried has changed that, in my opinion. And whether he's back in 2 weeks or not is irrelevant. You need to add to this rotation. And there are a couple of guys that are going to cost a lot, but we sit here and talk about a team pushing all in. And look, despite winning the World Series in previous years, this team has not pushed all in. They have made fringe moves that has worked out very well. And we credit Alex Anthopoulos for that. Not trying to discredit him. But I don't think this year is one in which fringe moves are going to make up the difference. And there are some significant arms that are going to be available, potentially, but for a big heaping price. Tarik Skubal is going to be one of them. Garrett Crochet is possibly another. They're going to cost a lot. They're going to cost a lot. Not trying to say they won't. But if you want to make the difference this season, especially with Max Fried going on the injured list, there might be opportunities for you to get aggressive. I wouldn't call it desperate. I'll call it aggressive. So we'll see if maybe there's some potential of that taking place over the next 9 days. Now that Ozzie Albies is set to hit the IL, is there potential of adding a future shortstop or a fill-in second baseman? If you're trying to make a move to add someone to be your future shortstop, that makes the most sense. And you move RC at a second for the remainder of the season or however long Ozzie is out, and then you figure it out. Possibly you look at Nacho and give him a look as well. I would still take right now that a pitcher is of utmost importance. And so we'll see what sort of guys they maybe zone in on, how aggressive they might be. The other thing is, and we talked about this in the opening segment, and you guys can disagree. I know sometimes Grant, who might be listening outside, will hear something I say. He's like, I totally disagree with that, and that's fine. But you're allowed to call up an extra man when you have a doubleheader. And the Braves did that yesterday and used Bryce Elder to start the evening game with the Cardinals. And that tells me all I need to know about where this team's focus is in terms of the remainder of the season. And all I'm suggesting is that tells me that they are not putting a massive priority on chasing down the Phillies. Because we already had the discussion of, all right, you're skipping starts from a lot of guys that are going to All-Star games, right? Doing the six-man rotation thing, fine. Like, you're just not serious about chasing down the Phillies. And that's fine. Like, I've been talking about this for 2 weeks. I was like, it got to a point where I'm like, they're not going to catch the Phillies at this point. And I don't think they will. You had an opportunity, if you won last night, to go to 6.5 back. But you lost that one, and then you lost today. The Phillies won today. And now you're right back where you started coming out of the All-Star break. I mean, you're right back at 8.5 back. I mean, it could have been way different, but it's not. And so they don't seem to be interested in trying to chase down the Phillies. And again, I don't have a problem with that. I'm very comfortable going in as the wild card and seeing what happens, because you're going to, again, whether you're the number one seed, whether you win the division, or whether you come out of the wild card spot, the playoffs all comes down to one thing, and that's getting hot at the right time. It's getting hot at the right time. And hopefully the Braves could do that. We'll see. Obviously, the offense still needs to click. I'm starting to have quite a lot of doubt as to whether that'll happen. Early in the season, I'm like, oh, come on, they're too good. It'll come around. It'll catch up. It hasn't. Some of that has to do, of course, with the injury to Ronald Acuna. Maybe there's just a lot of hope that Michael Harris comes back soon and can make a big difference, but we haven't heard much about his return yet either. And now Ozzie Albies goes down. And again, if you missed it earlier, it immediately seemed from Snit like he knows this is going to be a problem. And I'm not going to say season ender, but it was serious. And without even the full reveal of the medical evaluation, he was out on the, we're going to put him on the IL. And so when the discussion of IL comes, and by the way, this is a Braves team that has waited a long time to put guys on the IL this year, right? We didn't put Ramon Laureano on the IL for a while. We tried to deal with it with Austin Riley. The fact that they just immediately jumped to like IL should tell you everything you need to know, because this is a team that has not taken advantage of the IL in that manner very often this year. And so it is serious. And so this is a bad spot, but it also is a spot that maybe puts, and with the Max Fried thing too, does it kind of force the hand of Alex Anthopoulos? Maybe he was going to wait and see and try and play it out with your guys, and maybe Ian Anderson will come back and he may make up the difference and this and that. I don't think you could sit around and do that anymore. I think you have got to be on the front foot, to use the soccer term, be aggressive and get after it at this point. And again, you can't throw away the future right now if you don't feel like you can win it all. But I will say this. Fringe moves are not going to win you a World Series this year. If you're going to go for it, go for it. And by the way, I've said this for a while. Like, I wondered if they could, like, push y'all in with the idea that, like, they'll re-sign whoever they bring in while letting Max Fried walk. But you do have that window of, all right, let's say you get Tarik Skubal. You have Skubal and Fried for the rest of this year. Fried goes out. Skubal gets the money you were going to pay Fried, that sort of thing. I always thought there was potential of that anyways. Kind of overlap them for this year, and then you have your future ace or among the future aces moving forward. So we'll see if that's the case. But, yeah, this has really, really pulled the curtain out, and the sun has shone on the Braves that they need to be adding a pitcher. And I don't think it anymore is a discussion of, they could probably be okay without one. They'll figure it out, this or that. With the uncertainty of the injury, I think you have to. You won't know until beyond the trade deadline the status of Max Fried. Like he will not be back ready to go with 100% confidence until after the trade deadline. So you've got to make a decision about whether you can trust that this is a 2-week thing and he's back good to go. Or not, and I am very concerned about it. And look, Brian Snicker, as urgent as he was about Albies to say it's not good, he's going on IL. The one thing he did say about Max Fried, he said the results were best case scenario. You could tell me that, but at the same time, it's still an injury to your pitching arm. It's still an ulnar nerve issue, and so maybe it doesn't immediately jump to the level of Tommy John surgery. It's never a good injury to your pitching arm. And so we're still going to have to deal with that. All right. It is the week that football returns. Falcons training camp opens up on Wednesday. 92.9, the game will be there. We will have you covered. And there's going to be a lot of Falcons talk before Wednesday as well. Like, we're going to be leading up to and previewing a lot of different aspects. I'm sure various shows will talk about position groups. I'm sure someone will do top five questions heading into training camp over the next 2 days. I mean, look, it's not like we're just going to be in no man's land and then Wednesday we'll just all of a sudden be talking Falcons. There's going to be a ton of Falcons coverage over the next 2 days as well as we gear up for the start of training camp. And I'm frankly excited to see that and excited to listen to it, because as much as we find a way to be optimistic pretty much every year about the Falcons and kind of ramp up the excitement, like, this is the year that really feels like our optimism, our excitement might actually be met with the results on the field. Like last year, I was excited. I was optimistic. There was the caveat of if Desmond Ridder can do this. He couldn't, and it didn't. And so we were left with a team that very early on in the season, we're like, oh, boy, we're gonna be fighting to make our way through this year because this ain't it. And the year before with Mariota, right? Oh, this is a guy that knows Arthur Smith's offense, and this and that, and the guy won a Heisman. How long ago was that? You know, and it wasn't. It just wasn't. And so hopefully this is finally a year where we look at it and we're excited about the offense. We're excited about the quarterback. There's a lot of potential on defense. Still some questions, but a lot of potential that maybe we can be met. Our optimism, our excitement can be met with results. But obviously, we got a month and change before the results come into play. We're just talking about building up the discussion and training camp, and I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to get out there, excited to cover it as well. But like I said, there's going to be a lot of Falcons talk, really ramping it up starting on Monday as we continue coverage of what's left of the offseason. I say the offseason ends Wednesday because once you're in training camp, it is 2020. It is the 2024 NFL season. Some teams are already underway. Falcons will start on Wednesday. All right, that's going to do it here on the Abe TL Show. Again, stick around because Grant McCauley is in the building. He is ready to roll from the diamond coming your way for the next 2 hours. And like we said, Grant has a lot of different discussions to tackle in regards to the Atlanta Braves. Some stuff that he didn't plan on until earlier today, but Max Fried is on the IL. Sounds like Ozzie Albies is going to be headed to the IL. And so a lot of questions have to be asked about the Braves right now.
This is the Abe TL with Abe Gordon.
Any more questions?
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Final couple of minutes here on the APTL show before we hand things off to Grant McCauley and from the Diamond. And look, I know Grant works hard to plan his show throughout the course of the week based on the progression and what transpires. And look, he hasn't been on since the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game and all that sort of stuff. But look, he's got 2 hours. It'll be fully encapsulating. But man, oh man, what a past, I don't know, like 10 hours it's been for the Braves. We get the news earlier today that Max Fried is going to be placed on the IL due to, they're calling it best case scenario. It's forearm neuritis. It's still an ulnar nerve issue. And look, maybe this is not a short, maybe it's not a long stint and he just misses two starts and is right back at it being himself. But certainly, there's never a good time for an issue with your ulnar nerve or any pitching arm issue to begin with. You stack that on to the fact that you lose today and drop the series to the Cardinals. And with one of the final plays of the game, Ozzie Albies trying to make a tag at second, injures his wrist. It is immediately viewed as not good and a trip to the IL, according to Brian Snicker. And so now we'll see, because there's a couple of things at play here. Is Nacho Alvarez at play in regards to him being called up? And a lot of people are saying if Nacho Alvarez is the move, it might be Orlando Arcia sliding to second, not Nacho, who has not played second base at the professional level, to my knowledge. He has played some third, he's played short, but not second. Arcia does have a little bit of history at second base. I was just talking with Grant McCauley. You know, maybe you don't necessarily go that route just yet. There's a couple of other infielders in the system that maybe you could look at as well. But you are, what is today, the 20th, 21st? The trade deadline is July 30th. And so, look, the way I look at it, we don't know the extent of Max Fried's injury, nor do we know the timeline, nor do we know if it could recur when he gets throwing again. I think a pitcher is now of utmost importance. We saw Bryce Elder come in and get shellacked. We saw Schwellenbach. Not everything was his fault today, but certainly he got hit around a little bit as well. And it just, it's starting to trend back after maybe a week or 2 weeks of being like, maybe we can get by with this rotation. The injury to Fried has changed that, in my opinion. And whether he's back in 2 weeks or not is irrelevant. You need to add to this rotation. And there are a couple of guys that are going to cost a lot. But, we sit here and talk about a team pushing all in. And, look, despite winning the World Series in previous years, this team has not pushed all in. They have made fringe moves that has worked out very well, and we credit Alex Anthopoulos for that, not trying to discredit him. But I don't think this year is one in which fringe moves are going to make up the difference. And there are some significant arms that are going to be available, potentially, but for a big, heaping price. Tarik Skubal is going to be one of them. Garrett Crochet is possibly another. They're going to cost a lot. They're going to cost a lot. Not trying to say they won't. But if you want to make the difference this season, especially with Max Fried going on the injured list, there might be opportunities for you to get aggressive. I wouldn't call it desperate. I'll call it aggressive. So we'll see if maybe there's some potential of that taking place over the next 9 days. Now that Ozzie Albies is set to hit the IL, is there potential of adding a future shortstop or a fill-in second baseman? If you're trying to make a move to add someone to be your future shortstop, that makes the most sense. And you move RC at a second for the remainder of the season or however long Ozzie is out, and then you figure it out. Possibly you look at Nacho and give him a look as well. I would still take right now that a pitcher is of utmost importance. And so we'll see what sort of guys they maybe zone in on, how aggressive they might be. The other thing is, and we talked about this in the opening segment, and you guys can disagree. I know sometimes Grant, who might be listening outside, will hear something I say. He's like, I totally disagree with that, and that's fine. But you're allowed to call up an extra man when you have a doubleheader. And the Braves did that yesterday and used Bryce Elder to start the evening game with the Cardinals. And that tells me all I need to know about where this team's focus is in terms of the remainder of the season. And all I'm suggesting is that tells me that they are not putting a massive priority on chasing down the Phillies. Because we already had the discussion of, all right, you're skipping starts from a lot of guys that are going to All-Star games, right? Doing the six-man rotation thing, fine. Like, you're just not serious about chasing down the Phillies. And that's fine. Like, I've been talking about this for 2 weeks. I was like, it got to a point where I'm like, they're not going to catch the Phillies at this point. And I don't think they will. You had an opportunity, if you won last night, to go to 6.5 back. But you lost that one, and then you lost today. The Phillies won today. And now you're right back where you started coming out of the All-Star break. I mean, you're right back at 8.5 back. I mean, it could have been way different, but it's not. And so they don't seem to be interested in trying to chase down the Phillies. And again, I don't have a problem with that. I'm very comfortable going in as the wild card and seeing what happens, because you're gonna, again, whether you're the number one seed, whether you win the division, or whether you come out of the wild card spot, the playoffs all comes down to one thing, and that's getting hot at the right time. It's getting hot at the right time. And hopefully the Braves could do that. We'll see. Obviously, the offense still needs to click. I'm starting to have quite a lot of doubt as to whether that'll happen. Early in the season, I'm like, oh, come on, they're too good. It'll come around. It'll catch up. It hasn't. Some of that has to do, of course, with the injury to Ronald Acuna. Maybe there's just a lot of hope that Michael Harris comes back soon and can make a big difference, but we haven't heard much about his return yet either. And now Ozzie Albies goes down. And again, if you missed it earlier, it immediately seemed from Snit like he knows this is going to be a problem. And I'm not going to say season ender, but it was serious. And without even the full reveal of the medical evaluation, he was out on the, we're going to put him on the IL. And so when the discussion of IL comes, and by the way, this is a Braves team that has waited a long time to put guys on the IL this year, right? We didn't put Ramon Laureano on the IL for a while. We tried to deal with it with Austin Riley. The fact that they just immediately jumped to, like, IL should tell you everything you need to know, because this is a team that has not taken advantage of the IL in that manner very often this year. And so it is serious. And so this is a bad spot. But it also is a spot that maybe puts and with the Max Fried thing, too. Does it kind of force the hand of Alex Anthopoulos? Maybe he was going to wait and see and try and play it out with your guys, and maybe Ian Anderson will come back and he may make up the difference and this and that. I don't think you could sit around and do that anymore. I think you have got to be on the front foot, to use the soccer term, be aggressive, and get after it at this point. And again, you can't throw away the future right now if you don't feel like you can win it all. But I will say this. Fringe moves are not going to win you a World Series this year. If you're going to go for it, go for it. And by the way, I've said this for a while. Like, I wondered if they could, like, push y'all in with the idea that, like, they'll re-sign whoever they bring in while letting Max Fried walk. But you do have that window of, all right, let's say you get Tarik Skubal. You have Skubal and Fried for the rest of this year. Fried goes out. Skubal gets the money you were going to pay Fried, that sort of thing. I always thought there was potential of that anyways, kind of overlap them for this year, and then you have your future ace or among the future aces moving forward. So we'll see if that's the case. But, yeah, this has really, really pulled the curtain out, and the sun has shone on the Braves that they need to be adding a pitcher. And I don't think it anymore is a discussion of, they could probably be okay without one. They'll figure it out, this or that. With the uncertainty of the injury, I think you have to. You won't know until beyond the trade deadline the status of Max Fried. Like he will not be back ready to go with 100% confidence until after the trade deadline. So you've got to make a decision about whether you can trust that this is a 2-week thing and he's back, good to go. Or not, and I am very concerned about it. And look, Brian Snicker, as urgent as he was about Albies to say it's not good, he's going on IL. The one thing he did say about Max Fried, he said the results were best case scenario. You could tell me that, but at the same time, it's still an injury to your pitching arm. It's still an ulnar nerve issue, and so maybe it doesn't immediately jump to the level of Tommy John surgery. It's never a good injury to your pitching arm. And so we're still going to have to deal with that. All right. It is the week that football returns. Falcons training camp opens up on Wednesday. 92.9, the game will be there. We will have you covered. And there's going to be a lot of Falcons talk before Wednesday as well. Like, we're going to be leading up to and previewing a lot of different aspects. I'm sure various shows will talk about position groups. I'm sure someone will do top five questions heading into training camp over the next 2 days. I mean, look, it's not like we're just going to be in no man's land and then Wednesday we'll just all of a sudden be talking Falcons. There's going to be a ton of Falcons coverage over the next 2 days as well as we gear up for the start of training camp. And I'm frankly excited to see that and excited to listen to it, because as much as we find a way to be optimistic pretty much every year about the Falcons and kind of ramp up the excitement, like, this is the year that really feels like our optimism, our excitement might actually be met with the results on the field. Like last year, I was excited. I was optimistic. There was the caveat of if Desmond Ridder can do this. He couldn't, and it didn't. And so we were left with a team that very early on in the season, we're like, oh, boy, we're gonna be fighting to make our way through this year because this ain't it. And the year before with Mariota, right? Oh, this is a guy that knows Arthur Smith's offense, and this and that, and the guy won a Heisman. How long ago was that? You know, and it wasn't. It just wasn't. And so, hopefully, this is finally a year where we look at it and we're excited about the offense. We're excited about the quarterback. There's a lot of potential on defense. Still some questions, but a lot of potential that maybe we can be met. Our optimism, our excitement can be met with results. But obviously, we got a month and change before the results come into play. We're just talking about building up the discussion and training camp, and I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to get out there, excited to cover it as well. But like I said, there's going to be a lot of Falcons talk, really ramping it up starting on Monday as we continue coverage of what's left of the offseason. I say the offseason ends Wednesday because once you're in training camp, it is 2020. It is the 2024 NFL season. Some teams are already underway. Falcons will start on Wednesday. All right, that's going to do it here on the Abe TL Show. Again, stick around because Grant McCauley is in the building. He is ready to roll from the diamond coming your way for the next 2 hours. And like we said, Grant has a lot of different discussions to tackle in regards to the Atlanta Braves. Some stuff that he didn't plan on until earlier today, but Max Fried is on the IL. Sounds like Ozzie Albies is going to be headed to the IL. And so a lot of questions have to be asked about the Braves right now. And Grant McCauley, luckily, is here for all of us to answer them. And he's going to do that next on From the Diamond. I'd like to thank Dom Cherosky for helping me out today on the Abe TL Show. If you want to connect in the meantime, until I'm back on the air, at Abe Gordon on Twitter is where you can find me. Just shoot me some notes. Sometimes I respond, sometimes I don't. It just kind of depends what sort of mood I'm in and how argumentative I'm feeling that day. So always happy to have input and interaction, though, on Twitter at Abe Gordon. All right, until next time, hope you guys have a great rest of your Sunday. That's going to do it on the Abe TL Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
In the morning with your head on fire and your eyes too bloody to see.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.